Blog Talk Radio.
Mary, 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 Neo, Neo, baby, up, say,
Great morning. I love that song. Every time I play it, I'll be over here jamming. I love that song. Well, welcome to Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio Show. And I got a special guest today. Her name is Miss Devonna Boone. And her book is called Precious Gem, The Journey of a Shaping. But before we get started with her, I'm going to go over some announcements. If anyone is looking for any advertisement, commercials, radio spins, radio interviews, maybe you're author or life coach, and you want to, help, you need help advertising your books or business, this is a perfect platform to be on because this is a global platform, not local, but global. And basically what that means, if you say, for instance, you listen to your local radio station, once you leave out a certain area, you'll start hearing static. Well, mine is global. It's people all around the world that's listening. And so this morning when I logged in, I always go and look at my stats in the back office, and it tells me which country's been listening. And so I decided to start making sure I announce that when I do my announcements. So we have Ghana, Morocco, India, Northern Canada, and we have all the United States that's actually listening to this platform. So imagine if you are promoting your books, how that can help spread the word. And plus also, between this and my other platforms, which is my social media pages, I have about maybe 36,000 more people added onto that to give you more exposure. So I'm telling you, this is an excellent platform to be on. If you're interested in getting on my radio show, you can reach me at faithfocusedfinish@gmail.com. So that's faithfocusedfinish@gmail.com. So, yes, I'm pretty excited today. I want to welcome Ms. Devona Boone on Blog Talk Radio. Are you there, Ms. Devona?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. How was your weekend?
It was great. I really didn't do too much. I went out to eat, but it was a great, relaxing weekend.
Okay, excellent. Well, I will tell you that now, you know, I know we talked a little bit before the show started, but we actually have some callers on the line. And callers, if you don't mind, I'm going to keep your phone on mute for a few minutes, and then I'm going to open it up for some questions. And so
okay.
I just want to let you know, yes, you do have some callers on. But yeah, my weekend was, it was pretty interesting, but I made it through. I actually been sick for the last couple of months. And I was doing good, and then all of a sudden I got sick this weekend. But so this weekend I stayed in the house, and I was being a lazy bum.
There's nothing wrong with that. We all get like that sometimes.
Sometimes God make you sit down when he tell you you need a break. And
okay.
I think this was one of those weekends. So, just a little bit about Ms. Devona. She's the founder of a nonprofit organization called Precious Gems. Her mission was to empower young girls by teaching them resilience, promoting positive self-awareness, which we need that. We need to be educating them about sisterhood, which she do that, and the power that's within. So she's here to tell her story about her book. And so, you know, a tragic, tragedy that she had to go through at the age 10. But, the good thing is that she's pushing through, and she's educating other young ladies on, you know, how they can make it through certain situations too. So, again, I'm just welcoming you to the show. So, Ms. Devona, tell me a little bit about you that I didn't mention.
Okay, so you mentioned my name. My name is Devona Boone. I am from a small town called Newsoms, Virginia. A lot of people never heard of it, don't know where it is, but it's very – have you ever heard of Newsoms, Virginia?
No, I didn't.
Yes, it's probably about 300-some people population, probably takes about 5 minutes to drive through it. But so I'm a country girl. I grew up in the country. I love the country. I am a surgical tech. I am a founder of a nonprofit organization. I love what I do, empowering young girls. And now with my book, that has transitioned to also empowering young adults or women. And I just love helping other people find themselves or just try to change their mindset or just help them look towards the future and a better way to help change their life. Because like you said, I did go through a tragedy, which did teach me a lot of lessons through life that I had to learn the hard way. So I'm one of those people that I like to share what I learn. I don't like to just keep it all to myself. So that's who I am in a nutshell. I just like to help people, and I am who I am. I love to have fun, and I love God also, number one. And I love family and friends, and I'm kind of a people person, but I like to be to myself as well. So that's just me.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like it. Because there's something to me when you help other people grow, and whatever it is, whether it's mentally, physically, or financially. And it's funny because I was talking to someone the other day, and I was telling them, I said, everything that I do really help other people. And so whether it's in my full-time business and financial services that's helping other people, and then on here, this platform is helping other people have some type of closure. So that's pretty cool. Yes, ma'am. So let's talk a little bit about your book, and then we're going to talk about your organization,
okay.
You know, your goals and your missions and things with, you know, in that. Now, so when you, let me ask you, do you remember anything about your mom? Because I know she was, I mean, you were young when she passed away.
Yes, I was 10 years old when she was killed. I really don't remember a lot of things about her. I remember kind of what she looks like because I have pictures to remind me of that. But the way her voice sounds, I don't remember that. I do remember some of the things that she's taught me and, like, some of the things that we did together. But as far as, like, her her persona and, like, how she was as a person, I really don't remember a lot of that.
Okay. Well, what was any good memories that you remember?
Well, my mom liked to spoil me, so I remember every Saturday, first we would wake up and we would clean the house, and then we would, of course, listening to music the whole time we're cleaning, and then we would have breakfast, and then we would always go out riding. Like, even if we didn't even have a destination, we would just ride, and I think that's why now I just like to ride. I don't even have to have anywhere to go, but if I'm just, if I don't have anything to do, like, it just calms me, just, I don't know, I just feel at peace, but that's something that she did, and we would stop by yard sales, and we would go to different stores, and it was just a like a mommy and daughter day, like every Saturday. So that was a fun thing to experience with her.
Oh my God, me and your my mom and your mom must have been sisters. I'll tell you, because my mom used to get us up every Saturday. Okay, get the house clean, get all the clothes clean. And then we,
yes.
I remember we used to go, my mom passed away in 2003, but I remember we used to walk to this restaurant called the Ponderosa. And by the time we walked back, we'd be fat and full, even though we had a car. She's like, we need to exercise this stuff off, but that was our bonding time. And so, yeah, it's so funny because we used to do the garage sales and, sales and things like that. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know, even when you speak, and I think, you know, was thinking about that was kind of fun to, you know, do different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, when you're, were your mom, was your mom married to this man or was he just a boyfriend?
The man who killed her was her boyfriend.
Okay. Do you know how long they was in a relationship or do you remember?
From what I can remember, it was just maybe like a year or a year and a half. I don't remember it being a long term.
Mm-hmm. When do you remember the first time you started hearing your mom being abused?
I don't really remember the exact like time frame or when it all started. I just remember it was good, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. And I don't really remember, like, when it all started. It seems like it kind of just came out of nowhere. So I really don't, I can't even, yeah, a lot of that stuff I kind of blocked out a little bit. I guess that was my body's way of coping with it. Yeah.
Wow. Now, did you have any kind of relationship with your father, your actual father?
No, not at that time. My father was in and out of jail, and at that time he was also an alcoholic. So he was never really in my life. There were times as I got older that he would pop up and pop back out. But he was never really in my life. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when your mom was being abused before that event happened, do you ever remember talking to anybody, teachers or anybody, ask for any help or anything like that?
No, in our families, is my business stays in my house, and you don't run
right.
around telling people what's going on in our household. So I knew better than that. I knew if I, to me, that's how I felt. I didn't feel like I had the right to tell, you know, like I just, maybe if I would have said something, it would have changed something. That's a lot of times, like, I think about that. Like, what if I would have said something? Would things be different? And then I had to learn also through my healing that it was not my fault. Like, nothing that I could have done could have changed the outcome of the situation. So I had to learn
right.
that the hard way. But, yeah, like, it is. That's just the way it was.
Right. Well, one of the things I do, because I talk to a lot of people about different subjects like this, I notice that people do tend to keep their business inside the household. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes, it's definitely good to tell somebody on the outside. And I know as a kid, you don't think that or know any better, but just teaching your kids that, like, if you see something that do not seem right in our household, I'm like, go
mm-hmm.
tell everybody.
Yes, and that's what
I know.
We have to change. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have to change that in our culture, in our families, in our generations. Like, we have to let people understand or, you know, teach them that it's okay to tell somebody that somebody else needs help and that you won't be punished for it and that somebody will believe you.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't mind, do you mind sharing with me what do you remember that day?
I actually remember that day like it happened. You know, people say I remember like it happened yesterday. Like, I remember like it just happened 3 minutes ago. Like, and that's
mm-hmm.
the crazy part about it. Like, I was telling somebody else, like, my birthday had just came up. Like, I had just turned 10 in March, and then in May my mom died, and like I don't even remember what I did for my birthday, what I got for my birthday, anything. I can't even remember that, but I can remember that day like it just happened. I don't know
right.
if I want to share the gory details. That's a little graphic.
You don't have to do that.
Yes, but it just basically the night before, it was a Saturday night, my mom had actually tried to break it off with her boyfriend, and then this following day, that Sunday, he came to the house, and they were talking it out. Like, I guess he was trying to plead his case, like he wanted her back or whatever, and it just escalated from there, and then they started arguing, but we were all used to them arguing, so it didn't spark anything. Like, nobody was on alert, and that's sad to say as well. But then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, there was blood everywhere, and then they were tussling outside. And I do share the gory details in my book, but I'll save that for radio. Like, I don't know. But it's pretty gory. And then they tussle outside, and then once he gets her outside, she falls down, like, faints because of the previous injuries that she sustained while she was in the kitchen when this all happened. And then once they're outside, he just continues to just stab her. He stabbed her a total of 27 times, I believe they announced
wow.
it in court. Yeah, so it was very brutal, and I was there maybe 2-3 feet away from them while this was happening, just crying and screaming and trying to get him to stop. And then he finally stopped and ran over to me all bloody with a knife still in his hand. And I'm thinking he's about to kill me, but thank God he didn't. And then he said, you know, I loved your mom, and ran and stole her car and ran off. And once
wow.
he ran off, then I went back over to my mom's body, and I was just crying out, like, please don't leave me. Oh my God. Like, it felt like my soul was leaving my body. Like, I couldn't even explain it at 10 years old, but like, just thinking back, like, I just felt like everything was just leaving me. Like, it just felt so surreal, like a out of body experience. Like, I didn't even believe it was real. Like, I just knew it had to be a nightmare. I just knew
mm-hmm.
it couldn't be real. And I just kept saying that, like, this got to be a dream. This got to be a dream. And I heard her take her last breath. At that time, when I was 10, I didn't even understand what that was. But, of course, as I got older, I understood what that sound was, and it was her taking her last breath. And I just weeped over her body until one of my uncles came and picked me up, and put me in his car. My cousin was also in the house, and while I was over my mom's body, she went and took one of my bikes, and we're in the country, so it's a dirt path to get to the road, the main road. Mm-hmm. So she's riding down this path, and my uncle was getting out of church, and he saw her, and he came up, and he was the one who picked me up, and then he put me in his car, and from there, it was just, it was like my whole world was upside down. I didn't know who was going to take care of me. I didn't know where I was going to stay. It was just a lot of different emotions. Like, I just couldn't believe what just happened. Yeah, like I told you, every Saturday, me and my mom was together. So it was like, that was my heart. That was my all. That was my everything. I'm 10 years old. Like, who else? Who else do
right.
I have? You know, so that was rough. That was really, really rough.
Well, it definitely got my heart racing over here because it's like I just cannot imagine, because when my mom passed away, I was a grown woman, so I just can't imagine a kid actually seeing that happening and then thinking, like, what do I have left? And that's pretty sad. Well, I actually, what's crazy is that I have a couple of friends. They actually were killed by their boyfriends or their husbands. And and matter of fact, one was just this summer in the Charlotte area. So I was really heartbroken about her. such a beautiful person. And it's crazy because, you know, people, they don't want to do right by you. And they don't want to act, you know, they don't want you, or they don't want to do right by you, but they don't want nobody else to want you either. And that's what that's all about. It was the control thing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty sad that he did that. Whatever happened to him, is he still in jail, you know, or?
Yes, he's in prison now.
Okay. Yes. Right where he need to be. Hopefully he locked up for life.
Well, he actually was, he was locked up for life, but in the state of Virginia, I believe that life was only 32 years, so he was expected to get out when he was like 65 or something like that, but while he's been incarcerated, he's done other things that has given him other charges, so now his time has increased. So they always give me a report of what's going on. So they contacted me and let me know that his time increased. And then by the time he gets out, he'll be 80, 90 years old. So he's in there
for
a lifetime. Yeah.
Well, hopefully he puts some more crimes in there so he can be in there longer. And he can pass away.
I don't know what he did, but whatever he did got him in more trouble. So I don't know. Yes.
Well, he don't need to be out in these streets, that's for sure, because he's a creep. So tomorrow, actually, I have a young lady that's the director of the Mississippi Domestic Violence chapter, and she's going to be coming on, talk about her journey and what she went through, and, you know, just bringing up awareness, because we have so many people out here that's so afraid to get out of these relationships. And and they think that it's love, and it's not love. Love don't hurt. a lot of people think domestic violence is just physical, but no, it's mental, it's physically, it's financially, it's, you know, it's a whole bunch. And it's crazy because I never been physically attacked, but when I look back at some relationships I've been in, they was mentally and financial. And sometimes that's just as worse as being hit. It's play with your mental.
And I share that in my book as well. That's my experience as well. I was never physically abused, but the emotional, the financial, the mental and verbal, like just some of the rude things that they would say, like, Yeah, I share that in my book as well. So it was like I was trying my whole life not to be like my mom, but then in a sense, I still ended up just like her. And then I ended up in relationship after relationship that was not beneficial to me. So it took me a while to get out of the cycle. Like I thought that I was doing good, and then I was like, I can't. It was like I woke up one day and I realized like I am her. I'm my mom. Like, I'm trying not to be like her, and here I am. Like, I'm still going through abuse. You know, it's not physical, but this is not love. So
right.
I had to wake up and see that. And that's why now that I have seen that and I've come out and I've written my story and my journey, like, I try my best to try to help other women and people just to see that it's more to life than just settling for being comfortable. It's more to life than just settling for the potential of what somebody could be when you know that your right now is all kinds of jacked up.
right. Yeah. I was going to ask you that if you ever had, if you were ever in any abusive relationships. But the other thing I want to ask was, when you started in relationships with people, did you ever tell them your mom's story or, anything like that before when you first got with those people?
Yes. And the guys that I dated, they would never put their hands on me physically. Like they would always say, I would never put my hands on you. And that was one thing that they knew would not do at all. But it was just all of the other things that came along with those relationships. And then I was young as well. Been in a relationship from 16 up to 30 years old, and I've just been single for 2 years now, and I'm just like learning myself all over. So it's like, you know, you do what you think is right, and you're young and not making wise choices. So
yeah, well, don't feel bad about being single for 2 years. I've been single since 2013, but the thing with me, yes, ma'am. But the thing with me, when I get into relationships, I want to make sure I'm clear and clean before I, I'm saying, a clear mind and a clean heart when I come to people. But that's how I always have been. I spent times where I spent 5 years or so single. But, you want to make sure that, you're not bringing baggage and making sure they're not bringing any baggage either. But one of the things I did notice, too, just talking through friends through the years, is sometimes when you share some of your tragedies and your abuses that you've, been through with other people, sometimes people use that against you and they find other ways. It might not be a physical way, but unlike my friend that just passed away this summer, where her boyfriend killed her, he used all that to his advantage to try to control her that way. And for some reason, I don't know why people think there's something, a part of showing love, that type of control. And, that's not love. That's definitely not love when you're hurting someone like that. And so one of the things is I said to myself that I won't be sharing some of those things because people will try to use that against you. They try to suck you into whatever whatever it is that they're trying to suck you in. Because sometimes people have other motives behind things. I don't know why they do that, but they do.
That's true.
Well, what I'm going to do right quick, I'm going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back. We're going to talk about, after your mom passed away, some of the stuff you dealt with. And then I'm opening up the line for a few minutes for some of the callers because we have some more callers on the line. So we're going to take a quick break right quick and we'll be right back, okay?
Okay, thank you.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, say no.
welcome back to Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio, and I have Ms. Devin Boone on the line. Ms. Devin is the founder of the nonprofit organization called Precious Gems. She's on, you know, talking about her book called Precious Gems, The Journey of a Shaping, where she actually witnessed her mother's murder, Miss Eunice Boone, at the age of 10. But I saw her, I met her through Facebook and saw her book, and I wanted to hear about her story. Devin has fought to become the woman of grace and resilience through life difficult moments, where she has taken a self-examination of the impact she wanted to make a difference in other people's lives. So she had 31 years of building her courage, 31 years of self-discovery, 31 years of healing, 31 years of recovery, 31 years of preservation, and it led her to her right here on Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio, talking about her book and her organization. So, you know, I'm so proud of you being able to be open and explain, you know, just talk about what your journey is and what your goals and dreams are as far as this organization to help other young women.
Yeah.
So, yes, ma'am. One of the things I wanted to ask you, when you, after your mom passed away and things like that, who did you end up living with, and how was your upbringing from that time to now?
Well, initially when my mom first died, I stayed with several of my aunts. I have a big family. I have 7 aunts and 5 uncles. So I actually, for the first year, bounced around to each one of their houses.
Wow.
I really don't understand why. I guess it was because of either financial reasons or a little bit of everything with trying to figure out where I fit. And I'm sure I was a little rough around the edges. You know, I'm 10 years old. I just lost my mom. I'm probably going through a whole bunch of stuff, and people trying to tell me what to do, and I'm trying to tell them, you're not my mama, you don't tell me what to do.
Right,
so
exactly.
A lot of that involved as well, but I don't remember a lot of that. 2 years after my mom died, it was a little haze. I don't remember a lot of things. I just remember emotions that I felt, and like moving around a lot and feeling like I never had a place where I fit in. And so eventually after that first year, my grandmother took me in when I was 11. I moved in with my grandmother, and my grandmother was a church going lady. We went to Sunday school, first service, second service, sometimes even the third service on Sundays. And I was in every Bible study, every choir rehearsal, everything that I could be involved in church, my grandmother had me involved in it. And at that time, I really didn't understand it, but it was my peace. I found peace in God and really didn't even understand it at the age of 11. So I think that was amazing. And I always say my grandmother saved my life.
Right. I was just thinking as you were telling me that, I was like, wow, she putting her in position to pray about it and just keeping God in that whole thing. Because I tell you, some people was walking around here to this day and they haven't been fixed in any kind of way mentally after seeing tragedies like that. So
yeah,
that's the first thing I was thinking. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And I even did counseling. For a while, like I went to a therapist, and I went to several different ones because if I didn't like them, or it was this one guy, I remember he was talking so above me, it was like I didn't even understand what he was saying. I'm 10 years old, and he's saying words that are just too, like it was just too much for me.
Right.
And most of the time, I sat in his office and did art, like I just painted on his computer, and I was like, I'm not even getting anything out of this. Like, why am I coming here? And that was at 10 years old. Like, I was mature enough to know that I wasn't getting anything out of that.
Right,
so,
exactly.
I did go through that journey of getting therapy as well.
Well, one of the things I do want to share with you that a lot of people don't even know, one of the things that, because when you told me about you bounce from house to house, a lot of, and I'm telling you, I'm mentioning this not because I want help in my business, but I'm mentioning this because I have cousins that actually passed away and they had kids that they did not leave them some type of financial thing in the background, you know, financial vehicle in the background. So a lot of times people say, oh, if something ever happened to me, my family going to take care of my kids. But if your family are, if your family is struggling to take care of their kids, how can they take care of somebody else's kids? Did that make sense? So a lot of times, especially in our community, they don't, we don't have a financial vehicle. And I'm saying, for example, I'm not for sure what your mom's situation is, but I'm just using, for example, a lot of people don't have like a lump sum of money, or they don't have a life insurance policy or something like that that will help take care of that kid financially. Because everybody that I educate now, I tell them, you know, how can, is as if I, is all of our responsibility to take care of our kids, whether we live in or we gone. And so a lot of times that, where, you know, I notice that happens in, especially in our community, where the kids bounce from parent, to, you know, family member to family member. And like I said, I have three cousins right now that's actually bouncing from family to family because of that same situation. So that's one, you know, I like to tell people, it's very important to make sure you have something. So any event, as we don't know when that day is going to come, it's going to come. We just got to be prepared for it to come. And so, but I'm going to open up the lines for a quick minute, and then we're going to come back. We're going to, I'm going to open up the lines for any questions. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about your organization. Okay.
Okay.
So I have a couple of callers on the line. If you have any questions, callers from Ms. Devin Boone, you're more than welcome to ask any questions. We got some shy people on today. All right. Well, if you, I'll open the lines back up in a few minutes again if you have any questions. All right, sound like somebody was at work and they just want to listen in. So tell me a little bit about your org. Well, first of all, how long, when did you start this organization that you have, Precious Gems, Inc.?
I started it in 2014. That was our first year of operation. Yes, and I got the vision when I was 17, so it took me a little bit of time to get myself together to say, yes, I would do it. So, yes, 2014.
Okay. So when you had that vision, what were you thinking about? First of all, did you, when you were 17 years old and you had that vision, did you start writing these things down? Or what were, how did you end up getting to the point that you actually had started your organization?
I really didn't write it down at 17 because it was something that I felt like I wasn't equipped and ready to do. But the visions came so frequently, it was something that I couldn't really run from. So I didn't start planning it until around 2013. I was around about 23 years old, I believe. And then at that time is when I got serious and I was like, okay, I can't keep running from this. I'm just going to write the vision and make it plain. And so that's what I started doing at 23. I started to actually write it out and you know, in terms of how I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm. So what is your mission as far as, you know?
Our mission, we work with young girls ages 10 to 18. So we empower the mind and spirit of those preteen and teenage girls through mentoring and teaching them. And we teach them the principles of support, responsibility, commitment, and possibility. So we just basically want to show them that, you know, with a support system, and if you learn responsibility and you stay committed to certain things, and that anything is possible in life. You just have to put the work in to do it, and if you believe it, you can achieve it. You know, that's real. So
right.
That's what we do.
Before I go to my next question, we have some more callers that just popped on. Let me just see if they have any questions, okay? Just a minute.
Okay.
Hi, caller. You're on the air. Do you have any questions you want to ask Ms. Devon?
Devonna.
I mean, sorry, Ms. Devon.
That's
Devonna.
That's Devonna. No, I don't really want to ask her a question. I just want to just tell her that I'm proud of her and that I've watched her go through this walk, that she's this journey that she's on, and she inspires me, myself. I used to work with her at Norfolk General Hospital. I'm just inspired by all that she's doing for the world, because that this is a worldly thing, and she's so young to have a spirit in mind like that. That's really all I want to say.
Oh, who is this? Who is that?
Loretta Grant, Devonna.
Loretta. Hey, how are you?
Hey, sweetie. Good.
Oh,
I just had a minute.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you being there to support her.
Mm-hmm. I've watched her grow. She's growing. She's sprouting. Thank you. She's going to leave a mark in this world. That's what you see her too.
Oh,
you're
my
here
goodness.
To leave something behind. Yep.
Yes, ma'am. That's what it's all about. Is that, you know, a lot of people don't realize legacy is not just about money. Legacy can be just leaving your name somewhere. And Ms. Devonna, one day I want to share my story with you about who my father is and his name. But that's a whole nother story. But my father was actually an inventor, actually. So. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But yes, it's a beautiful thing to watch somebody grow. So yeah, I appreciate you supporting her.
Yes, God, yes. She's a very ambitious young lady, though. She knows what she wants, and she's not staggered. She's gonna keep it moving. I found that out. She has a whole other story she probably could write about. She's having. You know, she got some stuff, you know, and she kept it moving. I was so proud of her. She knows what I'm talking about. She has moved on and said, look, that ain't got to work. I ain't going to stay there. I'm going to keep on moving.
Right. That's how you got to do. You got to keep moving. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Devonna, how old are you, Devonna?
32.
Oh, 32, and I'm 56. See, I'm still learning. See what I'm saying?
Oh,
see,
I'm still learning, too.
They say as long as you live, you're going to keep learning something, you know?
Yeah. Right.
That's right.
As long as you have an open mind. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy because through my journey, especially these last 5 years, I have learned a lot about some of the people around me. And sometimes you will run into people because they finish high school and college. They think that they're finished learning. But no, you have to be so open-minded on a daily basis to be open to learn something new every day. And and then the things that you learn, teach other people. It's no good if you're keeping it inside.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, well, I appreciate you, you know, sharing that with us and coming on the line with us.
Yeah, I had seen it earlier, but I just didn't have a chance. So I was sitting in the car. Believe it or not, I'm sitting in the car outside of Walmart waiting for someone that went in to do a prescription. And it popped up again. I was like, oh. So I just tapped on in. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate your support.
You're
and
welcome,
if you get
so welcome.
And if you get a chance, if you can follow my page, you actually get updates of some of the things that's going on with the people that I had on the show.
I will. I never heard of it. Devonna, she's a jack of all trades. She knows some stuff. I will make sure that I do this.
All right, then.
But
I appreciate you.
My ride is someone back. I'm about to get out, but Devonna, I did have to touch in a little bit. Okay, baby.
Thank you.
You welcome. But send me what his stuff is so I can go to him too. Okay.
Okay, I'm a female. I just got deep voice, but
me too. Hey, don't feel bad. Me too. I ain't even gonna lie to you. Don't feel bad. Me too. I call somebody and be like, "Hello, sir." I be like, okay." So I play it off. I'm like, "Okay."
I get it all the time, so I'm used to it. Well, you make sure you have a great day and be safe out there. Okay.
All right, you all too. Talk to you later, Devonna.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ms. Devon, I'm so sorry. It's so crazy because I just, before we got on the call, I actually was just called, one of my other friends called, her name is Devin, and today was her birthday. And so and she actually used to be an old business partner, so that's where that came from. So I apologize.
Okay. It's fine. I'm used to people mispronouncing it. It's okay.
So we was talking about your organization, and I was just going to ask you, what was your goal when you, you know, when you came up with your nonprofit organization?
Well, basically, I just wanted to provide a place where the girls could grow and learn and have fun. And while they're having fun, also develop confidence in themselves and their ability to make a difference in the world. Because that's a big thing. Like a lot of people, like you said, they learn things and then they keep it to themselves. But it's important to want to change your life and also to help somebody else. So that was like the main goal that I wanted to accomplish when I started Precious Gems.
Okay. So what kind of programs do you have for the girls?
So we basically have three programs that compromise a lot of different activities. So we have the My Life Foundation. This program promotes like the importance of positive self-image and respect for self and of others. Like I just said, like that's our theme. You know, you got to respect yourself and you got to respect other people and also show love to other people. And we teach them decision making and problem solving skills. And also we teach them how to make positive, independent life choices. Because everything in life can be changed by one choice that you make. So we do different workshops under this program. Like we teach them about budgeting. We do positive affirmations to make sure that they know how to stay positive. We do team building exercises. We make sure we teach them about sisterhood and togetherness. We do positive relationship workshops. And also we teach them about hygiene and self-care. And then there's another program. We have community service learning. Under this program, we provide them with opportunities to do community service work, and then this teaches them, like, civic responsibility and the importance of giving back. Like I said, that's a major thing for me. And then also strengthening their community. So under this program, we've done we've adopted a highway. We created blessing bags for the homeless. We created Builder Bears at the Builder Bear Workshop, and then we donated all of those bears that we made to the Children's Hospital here in Norfolk, Virginia. It's called CHKD. And then we also created, like, flower pens. It was like an arts and crafts activity. And then we went to the mall. We had, like, a mall outing, and we gave those flowers out to the women in the mall just to show appreciation.
Wow.
You know, and then we also created dresses just this year, and I was afforded the opportunity to go to Uganda, and we distributed those dresses out to the women and girls in Uganda. So those are just some of the activities that we do under community service. And then we have a program called Natalie's Closet, where we accept gently used women and girls clothes. And under the budgeting workshop, we teach them about, you know, billing and how to pay expenses and all of that. And then we teach them how to shop on a budget. So after you've paid all your bills and you've done real life stuff, this is how much money you have left to shop. And we, like, set it up like a little boutique, and we let the girls basically shop through the clothes, and they have to spend real, well, fake money, but, you know, in terms of the exercise, and they buy the clothes based off their budget. And I feel like that, you know, helps tie in the whole lesson of budgeting and making it real life situation. So, and then we also use those clothes as a annual yard sale, and we put funds back into the organization with the money we use from that. So those are like our three basic programs that we offer within Precious Gems.
Wow.
Yes,
ma'am. All I can do is say wow. That is so awesome. I'm so glad I reached out to you. I am.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that is so awesome. One of the things, if you don't mind me, you should, if you don't mind me making some suggestions to put in one of your programs, is educating them about investing early.
Yes. That was part of our budgeting exercise. We didn't really tap into it like in depth, but that was a part of it. We talked about investments and saving money and IRAs, and like we tapped into it, but we really didn't go into depth. So that will probably be like a whole another workshop, because that's like really a lot of information.
Now, guess what?
Yeah,
that's one of the things that I do. We actually educate kids too. And we educate everybody about learning how to save and accumulate money. One of the things is a lot of people don't know the government is going to be stopping Social Security in 2030. They actually put a date on it. And so anybody that's under the age of 40 today would not get Social Security because they're going to be bankrupt. So imagine if the jobs don't have, they're not showing you how to accumulate your money fast enough at your job, because of course they don't want you to make more at your job. They don't want you to make enough money to live next door to them. That's what I tell people. So it's about educating people so that they can get themselves in position so they can actually be able to retire through an investments and savings program that I actually offer. So one day I would love to come and share it with you guys. What I do, and the education is free. That's what I like about it. I used to say anything free sounds good to me.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I like that.
So, yeah, I actually just left Norfolk about 3 months ago, so I was actually in the area. I wish I would have met you before then. But, but that's just some of the things that's educating them, even showing them if they even put $25 away each month, we can show them how they can actually become a millionaire just by putting their money in the right places, saving it and accumulating in the right places. So I'm actually a licensed agent, so we can show you guys how to do that. But
to contact you after we get off of this blog talk. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to stay in contact.
Yes, ma'am. Now, how can anybody get in contact? Well, first of all, before I say that, what are the ages of the girls that you're working with?
For Precious Gems, it's ages 10 to 18.
Okay. Wow, okay. That's excellent. That's those perfect ages, too.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, how can they get in contact with you?
In regards to Precious Gems, we have a website and we have a contact link up there with all of our information included in that. And the website is www.preciousgemsinc.org. And it's G Precious, like Precious, Gems, GEMS, Inc.org. And then also my email address is pgemsinc@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, if you can do me a favor, when we get off, make sure you send me those links, because there is not attached to your episode here, and I want people to be able to get in contact with you, okay? So I want to make sure they have all the links so we can, get in contact with you. Wow, that's pretty cool and awesome. I'm so proud of you and what you're doing for the community and what you're doing for these young ladies, because they need it. They definitely need it.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying it is. It's very much needed.
Yes. I'm going to open up the lines again and see if those couple of callers have anything to say. And then after that, when we come back, I want to ask you, if you could say anything to the world on this global platform, what would you say? So let me see if anyone has anything to say.
Okay.
Hi, callers. The lines are open. Do you have any questions that you want to say to Ms. Devana?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
God bless you all. I just want to say to Devana, I just want to make a comment. This is Greg Breon. I just want to say to Devana, I am proud of you. You continue on to do the great work that you're doing. Never let anything slow you down or stop you. Don't ever give up, because the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to the one that endures to the end. Keep enduring. This is my daughter in Christ, And I'm so proud. I'm so proud of her. You just keep on, and the sky's the limit for you. And I tell you that all the time. And every time God opens up a window for you, it's another opportunity for you to reach more and more people. So continue on. And I would like to just thank the host of this show for allowing you the opportunity to come on this blog. Praise God for you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, Ms. Devonna, I don't know if you heard. We got 90 seconds left. Is there anything that you want to share with the world before they cut us off?
I just want to say that love doesn't hurt. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. And it is also not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongdoings, and it never fails. So I want you all that are listening to ask yourself, what are you doing? Like, what if you're in whatever you're in, is it really love? And don't continue to stay in something just because it's familiar. See it for what it truly is and not for its potential, because your next decision can save your life or you can die in your mess. So the choice is up to you. And that's all I have to say.
Well, amen, sis. And I appreciate you coming on Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio Show. And, and I just appreciate you getting on and sharing your information with us. All right, guys,
you
can find her links on our site, and make sure you follow us. All right, Ms. Devonna, you have a great day. Thank you, sis.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great one.